The following program is presented by the Far East Broadcasting Company because stories of people living out the gospel with their lives inspire all of us. FEBC, taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. Learn more at febc.org.
Nancy and I have probably asked, I don't know, 75 people in the last 5 years, how can we pray for you? 90% of them answer, I'd love to have some peace. Well, the Lord gives peace. And that's what we're hanging on to like crazy.
Jesus said, peace I leave with you. This is First Person, where you're going to meet author, speaker, and literary agent Robert Wagemuth, who will talk about realizing that peace in the midst of cancer treatment. Welcome, I'm Wayne Shepherd. These programs are made possible by the Far East Broadcasting Company. More information at febc.org. Robert Wagemuth and his wife, Nancy DeMoss Wagemuth of Revive Our Hearts, have been married only a few short years, but their happiness has been very evident, including during the latest in their life together, Robert's diagnosis of cancer. He and I spoke about it online very recently. Well, Robert, you are leading an incredible God-centered life. Now, you have known both success and failure, more success than failure in business. You've authored books. You've helped countless people author their books. You know the kind of grief that comes from losing a spouse to cancer, and yet you also know the love and happiness that comes from your marriage to Nancy DeMoss these last few years.
That's right.
But now a new chapter. Tell me what's going on.
Well, let's see, this is November, and so 2020 is about to come to an end, and I would say mercifully, I mean, for the whole world, this has been a year we could not have even conceived of. If this had been a book and somebody had tried to write it, they would have said, look, this is too far out there.
Right, yeah.
So in November of 19, Nancy and I are in Greenville, South Carolina, visiting family for Thanksgiving. My daughter is standing beside me and she reached up. She said, Dad, what is that on your ear? And I said, well, I guess a little pimple or something. Well, as you and I know, men don't go to the doctor right now, right?
Right.
So I waited till January. Now I'm standing in church and I've got a very close friend who's actually an ophthalmologist. I said, Dave, look at this. What is this? He said, I don't know, but I think you better go to the doctor. It looks like cancer.
Oh.
I'm thinking, what?
This is like
a
instant diagnosis. Yeah.
A pimple. Give me a break. But I quickly made an appointment with a dermatologist, and she biopsied it. So now Nancy and I are getting ready to go to Mexico in March, early March. And we're leaving the next day, and I get a call from this dermatologist. She said, you've got melanoma cancer.
Mm.
Mm. So I'm downstairs in my study. Nancy's upstairs packing her suitcases and preparing for this conference, 6,500 women in Mexico. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to tell her. I'm going to wait till we're on our way. Because there's nothing she could do about it,
mm-hmm.
except be concerned and worried and so forth. So now we're at DFW, waiting in one of the lounges, on our way to Mexico. And I said, I got a call from the doctor yesterday, and she told me I have cancer. So we actually shortened our trip. We were actually going to go on and spend a week in Mexico on vacation. Came back at the end of March, March 30th. I went in for surgery. They removed the bottom third of my ear and took out a couple lymph nodes in my neck. So in the surgery, there was a plastic surgeon. And so she started the process of rebuilding my ear right there in the operating room. You know, you hear this all the time. It's amazing what they do these days.
Right.
I'll tell you what, when it's you and not just they, it's amazing. So, she started the process by stitching what was left of my ear to the side of my head. It's incredible. Yeah. Honestly, it is. So then on April 5th, I went back and had 4.5 hours of reconstructive surgery. And she said she harvested stuff from all over my face and body to rebuild my ear. Now, we're on the radio now, but if you could see it, that ear looks 100% normal.
Uh-huh, it does.
It's yeah. unbelievable. Yeah. So that was April 5th. She redid that, and it took a month or so, and then I went back to see her. She's Polish, and we're in Grand Rapids for this surgery. And she's the sweetest thing, and brilliant, obviously. She said, "Your ear looks stupendous, Robert." And I said, "Well, thank you, thank you, thank you." So that was April 5th. So I waited a couple weeks to start working out again. I love to work out at my age. I better. It's catching up on me. So I'm on our elliptical downstairs, and I usually go 20 or 30 minutes. I went 2 minutes, Wayne, and I couldn't breathe.
Oh, boy.
I'm thinking, what in the world? So I thought, well, I'll push. Okay. So I kept trying. I couldn't do it. I did 10 minutes, and I thought I was ready for the casket. Mm. As it turned out, I was. Mm. Because my hemoglobin was 5.1. I had no idea. I have good friends who have been doctors their whole life, and they said, it's a miracle that you didn't just drop dead. Because your heart wasn't getting any oxygen. So I went to the doctor, got a blood test. That afternoon, got a call from the doctor, and he said, get to the hospital now. So it started the process of transfusions, getting my hemoglobin back up a little bit. So that's been 2 months, 2.5 months. So that's been very recent, right?
Yeah.
That was back in April. So it's been, 6 months? So so we started the process of narrowing down what this could be. And those of our friends who are listening have been through this, and it's a matter of elimination, right? You try this, you try that. I've never seen so many doctors in my entire life. I figured they probably have a spreadsheet, and they've said, okay, we're going to put this guy through every possible test. So bone marrow, a biopsy, and then, oh, here, how about liver? There's liver biopsy, and how about spinal test?
Wow, it covered the bases, didn't they?
Everything, everything. And so what they did is they narrowed it down to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Okay.
So that's what I have.
Yeah.
So my first chemo treatment was in, August. And I'll be finished, Lord willing, by Christmas. Six treatments. And, of course, after the first, they told me I was going to lose my hair, and I did.
It happened almost immediately, didn't it?
Incredible. Huh. Absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. So we're grateful. The hospital group in our area is called Spectrum. They're headquartered in Grand Rapids. And they've been spectacular. And, you know, this kind of experience opens the world to a new world to you that you weren't aware of.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because you have known people in all circumstances of life. You've helped them write their stories and author books about their circumstances in life. And yet this circumstance happened to you. How is it different when it was you?
Oh, that is such a good question. You're a professional, my friend. Well, here, let me give you a definition. Minor surgery happens to other people. Everything you go in, when you're on the cart and they're pushing you in, it's major. I don't care if it's a hangnail, it's major. So yeah, and as you know, I think you knew Bobby. I lost Bobby in 14. Mm-hmm. After 30 months of being her primary caregiver, which was a privilege for me. So yeah, I mean, even as the caregiver, you kind of think you know what this is and what it'd be like to be the patient, but you don't.
Yeah.
You don't.
It's a whole other level, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, it is. So here's a quick story. This is perfect for now. My daddy died of a disease similar to Parkinson's in 2002. It was similar symptoms, but it wasn't. So the medicine they were giving him for Parkinson's, bless his heart, wasn't doing anything. So he's walking with my older sister, and he's got her by the arm, or he wouldn't be able to walk. And he stopped, and she said, "What is it, Dad?" And he said, "I can't believe this is me." Mm. And this is me, you know. Yeah. Almost every day I have some kind of appointment. I stopped counting pinpricks or needle pricks at 60. Mm. Just, you know, it's just a constant. I said to Nancy this morning, I feel like a side of beef. Oh. You know, they just
poked and prodded, huh?
They have at you, and you just, in fact, okay. So I said, you know, it kind of sheds a light on Jesus. And believe me, this is not meant to be taken out of context. But the, you know, the story of the crucifixion, naked on the cross, naked, you know, the shameful experience, just that by itself, much less the pain of the crucifixion. Mm. And you say, you know what, Lord, I love you even more to realize what you've gone through. What I'm going through is nothing.
Yeah.
And the prognosis is good. I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
I've said to Nancy 1,000 times, I want to grow old with you.
Well, you have a lot of people praying for you all over the world. I know that for a fact.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you.
And intellectually, you know, we all know what can happen to us, but are we really ever prepared for that news that we get?
Yeah. I guess the right answer is no. But you can get close. You can get close because you continue, you find yourself, big things and little things, continually submitting to God's sovereignty and providence. Mm-hmm. You say, Lord, here's another one. You know, I don't know why this is happening. Again, big and small. And you say, all right, here's one that kind of looks big.
Yeah, you were drawing on years of relationship with the Lord, years of it, and thoroughly washed with Scripture in your mind. So you're still human, but you had that to draw upon.
Right. Yeah, and actually, this is our go-to passage of Scripture that Nancy and I claimed at the beginning of this process. It's Psalm 29, verses 10 and 11. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. Our favorite part of that is the Lord isn't worried. He sits enthroned. He's not pacing back and forth. He's not saying, oh no, how could this have happened? He's sitting. He's sitting enthroned as King forever. And then the psalmist finishes, may the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. We've probably, Nancy and I have probably asked, I don't know, pick a number, 75 people in the last 5 years, how can we pray for you? 90% of them answer, peace. I'd love to have some peace. Well, the Lord gives peace, and that's what we're hanging on to like crazy.
And we'll continue talking with Robert Wolgemuth on this edition of First Person in just a moment, so please stay with us.
I so enjoyed listening to the message that FEBC shared on the internet recently. Although I cannot attend church or any meetings during this epidemic, I am finding peace and learning so much through your programs. Praise the Lord.
FEBC is dedicated to taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. To learn more, please visit febc.org. That's febc.org. The Far East Broadcasting Company, until all have heard. My guest is Robert Wolgemuth. Robert is a longtime author. He's a literary agent. His wife, Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, of course, hosts Revive Our Hearts on radio. Robert, you've been on that program with Nancy and many other programs. I'm grateful you would take the time to talk with us on First Person.
Oh, Wayne, this is such a privilege. In fact, you might remember we bumped into each other probably 2 years ago at an airport.
Yeah, on an airplane. Yeah.
And I think it was Southwest, so we picked seats close to each other and did nothing but not talk nonstop the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
So it's great to be with you too.
A lot has happened since then, hasn't it?
Sure.
Now, we're hearing your story here today, and it's powerful to hear you, and we continue to pray for you and Nancy, of course, who's right alongside you there during this struggle with cancer. But at what point did you guys write this book, You Can Trust God to Write Your Story? Because, I mean, it was a perfect prelude for what you're going through, isn't it?
What were we thinking? I mean, don't write a book called that. Write a book called How to Deal with Riches or what? Yes. What to do when you have an inheritance? You don't know it so much. You don't know what to do with it. Yeah. So, and actually, this has happened to me before. Nancy and I together have written 40 some books.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't stop to count them.
Yeah, she's sold more copies, but we've written about the same number of books. And it's actually happened to me before. In fact, my late friend Tim LaHaye said a book is a long letter to one person.
Hmm.
So we had the joy. We got this idea to write a book called You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. One of the things we say in the book, actually, this is in 2019, September, that it was released, And actually, things were going pretty well. We said that in the book. We said, you know, right now, everything seems fine. The sun is out and we're in good health and, you know, we're grateful. However, no telling what the future will hold. This was September of 19. And of course, January of 20 is when all this started for me. But the truth is the wheels came off for the world. And 2020 was like a year everybody would love to have a do-over.
Yeah, we'll never forget this year, will we?
No, no. I mean, I hope we don't. I hope we don't say, wow, we thought 2020 was bad. Right? Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah. Good. So, yeah, so we did. We wrote this book. What we decided to do, we do tell our story because I think we have a pretty wonderful, sweet story of God's providence.
You really do.
Before my late wife, Bobby, died. A couple months before, she told two friends that she wants Robert to marry after she's gone. And they said, yes, Bobby, we've heard you say that many times. She said, yeah, but there's something else I want to say. I want him to marry Nancy Lee DeMoss.
She said that specifically.
Oh, she did. And one of the women she told knew Nancy, knew who she was. The other one had no idea. She was a neighbor. And actually, when the news went out that Nancy and I were seeing each other, both of those women contacted me, but one of them said, I recognize the name only because Bobby said it, because I had no idea who that was.
How sweet is that?
So that was actually the best news of all. For the men who are listening, Wayne, they get it. You guys get it, don't you? You get it, because this would have felt like an assignment, but it felt like a confirmation because I didn't find out until after we were dating. And it did. It felt like that was a wonderful thing for my daughters.
Oh, good. Well, I remember attending the wedding. It was like a royal event. It was wonderful.
we had a choice, a destination wedding with a dozen people or what we did. And, you know, when you're 67 and 57, your Rolodex is bursting. Huh. But we decided to roll it out and honor the Lord with what the wedding was. Clearly, the scripture leaves no doubt that this is an image of the church and Jesus.
Yeah, it was beautifully done.
Yeah, well, thank you, Wayne.
You mentioned your daughters a moment ago, though. Talk to me about their reaction to not only, you know, you getting remarried, but now this whole issue of cancer in your life.
First, they love Nancy. I have two daughters. They are 50 and 47. Just a couple weeks after Bobby was gone in the fall of 14, my younger daughter said, Dad, Bobby's not coming back. And you sitting at home alone on weekends in the dark isn't going to bring her back. Mm. Now, that is a really sweet thing for a kid to say.
Sure.
Because as the widower, as the spouse that remains, you have lots of mixed emotions about that. But that, to a great degree, Wayne, that gave me freedom to just take a deep breath and say, Lord, okay.
Yeah.
And then I found out, obviously, what Bobby had said.
Yeah, but you were concerned about your daughters, so that says huge. A lot. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And there are stories, people we know, men I know well, who don't have the luxury of that, who are still kind of doing battle with their kids. So I'll tell you, I'm going to lay a lot of this at Nancy's feet, because she has been so gracious. Here's the big word, and patient.
Mm-hmm.
Give it time. In fact, we spent some time with Dr. Ron Deal, who is on the staff at Family Life, and his specialty is blended families. And you think, well, let's see. I have biological children. Nancy has none. Let me tell you something, bud. It was much easier to get my daughters on board than it was to get Nancy's team.
Really?
I said, oh, man, by a long shot.
They were protecting Nancy, huh?
Yeah, exactly. When a young man falls in love with a girl, he goes to her father and gets permission. I had to go to a convention. I had her staff, because she belonged to them. She'd been on the staff here for 40 years, and she belonged to them.
Huh. All right, let me take you back to your daughters.
Okay.
And how are they supporting you during this season of your life now?
Like right now?
Yeah.
They've totally leaned in. And Nancy has welcomed them like they're her own.
Hmm.
They've come to visit us. We live in Michigan. They've come to visit us. They're in constant contact through texting primarily and phone calls. I walked up to Nancy's study yesterday, and she was on the phone with one of my daughters. So That's been really sweet. And I'll tell you what's really interesting. The fall is the hardest because we've got birthdays and the anniversary of Bobby's death.
Oh, yeah.
And those are always hard. You know, that brings back really hard memories. Both of my daughters and I were with Bobby when she stepped into heaven, and she spoke to us seconds before she stepped into heaven. She took me by the shirt. She pulled my face right next to hers, and she said, "I love you so much." She died. Wow. Just like that. And the girls were right there. So we experienced that together, and they miss her like, man.
Oh, I'm sure.
They do. They still do.
Yeah.
And Nancy doesn't resent that. You know, there probably are situations where the second wife kind of says, okay, let's get over this.
Mm-hmm.
Not Nancy. She leans in.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
I wouldn't expect anything less of Nancy.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you constantly turn to Scripture in your life, Robert. And I'd love for you to, you shared a passage a few moments ago. You have something else on your heart you can share with listeners? Maybe someone who's going through something similar you're going through right now.
Sure. Actually, this is so much fun. Let's see. In the spring of 68, I was getting ready to do a really stupid thing. I was getting ready to ride a bicycle from San Francisco to New York City with 39 of my buddies. And it took us 39 days to get to New York City. And I started that trip. And the first day out, I thought I was going to die. I wished I had. I was looking for a bus. I'd have traded my bicycle for a bus ticket in a second. And the Lord gave me Psalm 27:1. And, you know, if there's any word that describes, I talk about peace, that's a big one, but if there's any word that describes the world right now, it's fear.
Yeah.
And this is, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So, I mean, as a 19-year-old callow young man, the Lord gave me that verse, and it's been precious to me. There are other verses, but that's one that maybe your listeners could embrace. Psalm 27:1, there it is, plain as day, that the Lord is the stronghold of my life. I love that. I need that. I need it today. I need it tomorrow. So I'm so grateful. I'm grateful. And I'm grateful for the Psalms. You know, there's so much in the Psalms that's just gut level honesty, that, you know, a man after God's own heart who did such stupid things, speaking of stupid things, but he walked with the Lord at a level that in some cases only an artist can fully appreciate. You know, it's more than just bullet points. It's gut level trusting God. And so that's what I would say to encourage your listener.
Together with his wife Nancy, Robert is the author of You Can Trust God to Write Your Story, and he's in the midst of experiencing that firsthand. Our guest has been Robert Wolgemuth. There'll be additional information and links to all of Robert's books and ministry at firstpersoninterview.com. Telling these stories of faith in Christ are possible on First Person through the support of the Far East Broadcasting Company. For 75 years, FEBC has been watching God write their story through the countless lives touched with the gospel through radio and now internet programs. There's a new podcast from FEBC and its president, Ed Cannon, telling many of these stories. Search for the weekly podcast called Until All Have Heard on your favorite podcast platform. Now, with thanks to my friend and producer, Joe Carlson, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us next time for First Person.